بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, it is mentioned that the most precious capital of any nation is its youth. The most precious capital of any nation is its youth. Today the child is sitting on the lap of its mother, and tomorrow it becomes the leader of a nation. This is a very pertinent topic, and this sentiment is echoed throughout the four corners of the globe, that the youth are in danger, the youth are in problems. Many a parent complains about the behavior of his child. Many a parent complains, and society complains, that the youth are taking drugs. Many are committing suicide. Unfortunately, many are losing the iman. Many behave very rudely towards the elders and the seniors. So there is this global concern about the youth. And of course, we're not addressing the youth specifically today. But if one analyzes this topic, and one looks at the root problem, in many instances, we have to do some soul searching and see that we actually, as parents, we have shirked in our duties and responsibilities towards our children. So therefore I said this is a very important topic, a very crucial topic. Whilst parents do have various rights over their children, there is no doubt about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enforced this in the Quran and Majeed. The ahadith is replete regarding the rights of parents. But children also have some rights. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an was once questioned by a father, or father comes to him and he complains about his son. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, summons the child. So this youngster comes. The father is complaining about you. What's the matter? So the youngster was obviously overwhelmed, the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But he asks a question. He says, "Oh Umar, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, does any child have any right over the parents? Any have the what are the rights of the children over the parents?" Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says, "Yes, that the father should marry a good woman. In other words, the mother of this child should be a good woman, and he should give the child a good name, and thirdly, a good Islamic education and upbringing." In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدٌ وَلَدَهُ مِن نُحْلٍ أَفْضَلَ مِن أَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ, that no father has given his child any better gift than good character and ilm deen. So the child then tells Amir al-Mu'mineen, "Oh Umar, unfortunately my father has faltered in all three. My mother is an ill-reputable woman. She's not a good woman. She was not a chaste woman. My father had married this woman, and I am the product of that marriage. My father gave me the name Ju'ul. Ju'ul is like a beetle, a dung, a little type of insect, which is always found on stool, in the toilet. My father gave me this name Ju'ul. And my father never gave me any Islamic upbringing and Islamic knowledge." Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu became very, very angry with the father. He reprimanded the father. He rebukes the father. And he says, you are claiming rights, whereas you have not given the basic nurturing and upbringing, Islamic upbringing to your child. So respected brothers and elders, it is very easy, of course, to shift the blame. And that's very common today in every organization and society. We shift the blame on somebody else. But we never sit back and ponder and reflect, what are my responsibilities as a father? We don't have much time because of time constraint. I will just curtail this talk. It's a very lengthy discourse. But just a few important points for us to reflect upon. I mentioned very clearly that yes, as parents, we do have very many rights over our children. And they should be respecting us and showing their care, etc. Have we ever shown them love? Many a youngster, the parent has not shown him any type of love whatsoever. Aqra bin Habis radiallahu ta'ala, a Bedouin Sahabi, he is outside the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing his grandchildren. Aqra was astonished. And look at the question he puts forward. أَتُقَبِّلُونَ صُبْيَانَكُمْ? Do you kiss your children? Muslim said, yes, why not? He says, I've got 10 sons or 10 children. مَا قَبَّلْتُ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا قَطُّ. I never kiss any one of them anytime. In one narration, Rasulullah tells him, أَوَ أَمْلِكْ إِنْ نَزَعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ الرَّحْمَةِ. What to control do I have now? If Allah has snatched away mercy from your heart. Therefore in a hadith, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا. That one who has no mercy upon the young ones, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he does not belong to us. He does not belong to us. Imagine Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, becomes Amir al-Mu'mineen after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you looked in the books of seerah and we heard those lectures and talks and we read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, then we will see the time when Rasulullah passed on, when he left this world, how Sahaba felt, what was the condition, how they missed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People like Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala became speechless. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu takes the reign of Khilafah now. At a time when he's got so much of pressure on his head. He has to look after the affairs of the Ummah. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his army has to be dispatched again. There are people who are now not giving zakat. There are people who are turning renegades. That was the condition of the Ummah for that small period. Despite all the heavy responsibilities on his shoulder, he comes out of the masjid one day with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. He sees the son of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, who is the beloved grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes up to him, he hugs him and he kisses him. He has time even for the children. And then jokingly he says, Laysa shabihan bik, O Ali, he doesn't resemble you. He resembles his nana, his grandfather. The point here, they had time for their children. Of course, parenthood and this responsibility is on both the father and the mother. But we know that generally, the mother spends much more time with the child. Father is busy at work. He leaves early in the morning, comes back in the evening. And therefore, scholars have mentioned, and this is universally accepted, that the lap of the mother is the first madrasa, first school, or first institution of the child. And Allah has kept a very sacred and a very strong bond between the mother and her child. And therefore, one person said, Mawtul walad, صَدْعٌ لِلْكَبِدْ. For the mother, when she loses her child, it actually breaks her heart. And that pain, لَا يَنْجَبِرْ إِلَىٰ أَخِرِ الْأَبَدْ.
He's never repaired. Even though she grows old, she's in her 90s, but she'll still pine and she'll still think of her son who may have been so old in age, and she'll still miss her child. Allah has kept that special bond. It does not mean that we should absolve ourselves now from our responsibilities towards our children. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Arabic, it's not a hadith, this is what the Arabs say, that لَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّذِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ إِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. You know, we talk about an orphan, and commonly we know an orphan is the one who has lost his father before him becoming baligh, before the child reaching puberty, he lost his father, we see this child is a yatim. The poet says that he is not an orphan. A real orphan is that person who is deprived of ilm and mannerisms. Ilm of deen. So we're going to show love to the child. We're going to show care to the child. We're going to show and give support to the child. Take interest in the affairs and activities of the child. How often a father does not even know what grade his child is in school. And in most cases they do not know which class the child is in madrasa. How often a father does not know what para his son is doing hifz. The poor mother goes at fajr time to leave the child in the masjid, and she has to do all the rounds. Father does not know how much of sabak the person has read, what door and what his revision program is. We got to show time and quality time. In one of the talks, Mullah Suleiman Mullah, my friend, had mentioned that there was a youngster in America who always came up to his father, and he asked the father, you know, he tried to get the attention of the father. Father kept on chasing him away. I'm very busy, very busy. Can't you see I got so much of work to do? The child asked the father, okay, dad, tell me, how much do you earn? He says, what? You worried about what I earn? How does it concern you? Just tell me. So he gave him a figure for the number of hours he was working. This little child goes back to the room. He does some calculation, and after a few days, a week or so, he comes with a few dollars, perhaps $5, and he gives it to his father. Father looks up to him and says, what is this for? He says, dad, can I buy just 1 minute of your time? 1 minute of your time. See, when we become so preoccupied, and we don't know, we don't supervise our children diligently, and because we want to have a break, so we let those kids chill out in the weekends. And believe me, we do not know who the company is. It takes just a few seconds for your child to become a drug addict. Who do we blame then? Where do we run to? Where do we go? We've got young sons, young daughters. And therefore, the very first thing we're going to show is love, affection towards the child. And this care, caring for the child, the responsibilities a parent has over the child, and the child nurturing, tarbiyah as we see, does not begin when the child is a teenager, when he's 18 and 19 years old. Now he's searching for some youth program to take place. My brothers, it begins at the very inception of this child, when the mother becomes pregnant. And then, what she eats affects the child. What she hears affects the child. Therefore, ulama and mashayikh have said that she should increase her tilawat of the Quran. She should make sure she performs the salat in any case, whether she's pregnant or not. But the point here is, it affects the child. Whatever the mother is going to consume is going to affect the child. One of our great ulama had mentioned that they were a couple, husband and wife, and they were determined to that when this child is going to be conceived, we are going to make sure that whatever we do is going to be correct, and we're only going to consume halal. And the mother said 100%. She'll only consume halal. And alhamdulillah, the child was born. But after a little while, they find that the neighbor complains that your child stole a toy of my child. The father said it's impossible. Because every day they were making sure that they were only eating halal. But upon reflection, the mother then realized, when she was pregnant, and many pregnant women They go through this. They have some craving sometime for a certain type of food. Sometimes very spicy or sometimes very sweet. So she says, I was craving for some fruit. And the branches of this fruit were hanging over our garden. The tree belonged to the neighbor. And I just felt just one berry I just plucked without taking permission from the neighbor. And they realized that that had an effect on her child after the child was born. Mothers are listening to music. And we have the TV and pornographic material today. Somebody said today is an electronic world. Everything is all computerized, gadgetry, everything electronic. Parents have become electronic. How? The child comes back home in the evening. Father is busy with his cell phone. Mother is busy with her cell phone. Everybody busy in the lounge with their cell phones. Nobody is conversing. Nobody is communicating. Nobody is talking. We all have become like robots. My respected brothers, this is something very serious. No use we complain and lament after the damage is done. We have got responsibilities over us. And first thing is love. And the very second important thing is the ta'aleem and tarbiyah of the child, which I have expounded on a few examples. We have to teach them how to make salam. I receive many complaints from brothers say, that Maulana, why aren't people making salam? And outwardly the person looks so pious, but he fails to make salam. So sometimes you make excuses, probably he was reciting Quran, or probably he was in such deep thoughts he didn't even see you. But brothers, all of us shirk in this. And we should be all making salam, rife. Nonetheless, the child has to be taught how to make salam. The child has to be taught mannerisms, etiquettes of even eating. A child is seated on the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sammillah, wa kul bi aminik, wa kul mimma yalik. How beautifully. Say Bismillah, eat with your right hand, eat from the plate, eat from the side which is in front of you, nearer to you. Three simple etiquettes ingrained in the child right from the beginning, the foundation phase as we say. Ask those people who are in the education system, those who are in schools and colleges and varsities, those who are dealing with youth all the time, they would all say this is the common problem, that they lack mannerisms, etiquettes. They show no affection to the elders and respect to the elders. Again, let us not blame and point fingers at that youngster. Let us look at our own lives and how we shirk in our duties. It is not late. We're going to show the tarbiyah, the ta'aleem, and the correct nurturing. You know, somebody says, or mentioned very nicely, that what is a child? He likened a child to a beautiful white notebook. White page, white notebook. And he says that a person can draw beautiful flowers on that notebook and make that page extremely attractive and beautiful. Different colors. Somebody looks at it, it will attract his eyes. Or you can take your pencil or your crayons or your pens and your markers and your felt pens and you can make some jagged lines haphazardly and you can draw anyway and you can make that page look absolutely ugly. Exactly like that is the life of a child. You can make your child like how somebody said that one is grass that grows in an orchard, a lush orchard. And the other is the grass that grows in the jungle. We have to decide what we want our child to be. Don't you want him to be the coolness of your eyes? Don't you want to be such that when you go past his bedroom 12 o'clock in the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, instead of seeing him under the blanket watching some pornographic material, you see him engage in tahajjud salah. You see him raising his hands and begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you want him to be qurratu ayun, the coolness of your eyes? Then let us make sure that that notebook, we color it correctly. Correct upbringing, Islamic upbringing. The books that they read must be Islamic, authentic books. The very first thing when a child is born, what is given to his, given in his ears? Adhan. Adhan is called out. Iqama in the left ear. Why? Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. We introduce the child already to the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah. So this tawheed has to be ingrained in the, and embedded in the heart of the child. So as he grows, Rasulullah says, Muru awladakum bis salat. Command your children to read salat. When they're 7 years old, now you command them, but it is salat time. And then when he is 10 years old and he is not performing his salah, فَضْرِبُوهُمْ, then gently you give him one or two shots. Of course, you don't abuse the child. And this is where we lack. When we become angry, then we begin to verbally abuse that child. Physically we abuse that child. This is not the teachings of Sharia. Islam teaches us to sit down, educate the child, and talk to the child kindly. Whatever the child sees, it hears, it observes, it listens, it imitates, it follows the parent. For that child, who's the role model of the child? The mother and the father. Then of course, when it comes to the school or madrasa, then the teacher is the next role model. So if this child is only going to hear swearing, like many times somebody buys a parrot from some person, and when the parrot comes home, then he hears the only swearing words are coming out. Where did the parrot learn that from? In a similar way, the child only learns vulgar language, abusive language. So, love, care, tarbiyah, ta'lim, and dua. Surah Furqan, verse number 74. All of us should be doing it. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. O Allah, grant us such spouses and such children who will become the coolness of our eyes. Ya Allah, make us the leaders for the muttaqeen, for the pious ones. Respected brothers and elders, this is a very long discourse. We need so much of time. And as I mentioned the story of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, where the person said that my father gave me the name Ju'ul, which means an insect for the dung. Therefore, we have been encouraged, or in fact commanded by Sharia, to give good names to our children. Nowadays, people phone us, believe me, we have to actually check dictionaries to find out what the meaning and whether this word even exists. Because a person just Googles it, and any strange name comes out, then he wants to keep that name for his child. Rasulullah says, إِنَّكُمْ تُدَعَوْنَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِأَسْمَائِكُمْ وَأَسْمَائِ آبَائِكُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا أَسْمَاءَكُمْ. Keep good names on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be called by your name and son of so-and-so person by the name of the father. Keep good names for your children. Keep the names of Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam. Keep the names of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. What are we trying to achieve? My sister, she gave birth, she's got, her child got that name. I want some other name. Who are we trying to impress, my respected brothers and elders? All this must not happen at the expense of the nurturing of our children. Halal food. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells his grandson, who had taken in his mouth a date which was of sadaqah. And sadaqah was not permissible for them. Nabi Kareem says, Kakhin, kakhin, take it out, take it out. This is not halal for us. Immediately, he drives the attention and he focuses the attention of the child towards consuming halal. What do we say? It's okay, he's only a young boy. Let him wear what he wants. Let him do as he pleases. He's still small. So let him wear whatever he likes to wear and ape the West. And let him go out and party with who he wants. My respected brothers and elders, look at our masajid. Whether it's Fajr or Isha, alhamdulillah, many youngsters do come to the masjid. But majority are all the elderly people. The parents are coming. Where are our youth going? On a Saturday and Sunday, where are our youth? I have mentioned this so many times in the month of Ramadan, when the masajid should be full with our youngsters and youth. Brothers, it is our responsibility. Let us not shirk in our duties. Allah has mentioned, Al-mal wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. Wealth and children, they are the embellishment of this world. They are a decoration of this world. The child is an amanat in your care. He's a trust given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we have to maintain this trust correctly. So we have to bridge the gap between us and our children. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. It is very easy to say that this is a very daunting task, parenthood. And it is nerve-wracking. But respected brothers and elders, and our mothers especially, the rewards are very great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. a child was walking with the mother, and the mother tells the child, son, hold my hand. So the child says, mom, you hold my hand. The mother says, what's the difference? The mother said, hold my hand. The child says, no, mom, you hold my hand. Ma, you hold my hand. The mother says, what's the difference? He says, oh, my mother, perhaps if I'm in some danger, something happens to me, I will let go your hand. But I know for sure that if you hold my hand, if you are in danger, you will never let go of my hand. My respected brothers and elders, I leave behind you these words of wisdom and of course the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the verse of the Quran where Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, save yourselves and your family from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to do the correct tarbiyat of our children so that they become the kulnus of our eyes. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.